We are going to continue our series in non-traditional stewardship passages. And we are looking today on the story of the prophet Balaam. Balaam, how is that stewardship? Glad you asked. But first, before we get into how is the story of Balaam stewardship, just kind of recap a little bit. Last week, we talked about how Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple to do all the things that were required of them, the law, and that was stewardship, on how they took Jesus to dedicate him to be the firstborn child, to dedicate him to God and to redeem that dedication through the gift, through gifts and offerings. And we saw that they did all that was required, looking at how we're required to do certain things. What are they in stewardship? Well, we are required to give tithes and offerings, yes, and that's what we traditionally think about when we think about stewardship, but we're required to do more than that. We are required to live our lives for God. We are required to love one another. We are required to use the gifts that God gives us and use them for His glory. And this is kind of what we're going to be looking at today. So if you turn with me to the book of Numbers, we're going to read a couple passages out of Numbers 24, but we'll be looking at chapters 22, 23, and 24, but we're going to start by reading a few verses out of chapter 24. Then 24 chapter, verse 1, and it says, "Now when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not resort to sorcery as at other times, but turned his face towards the desert. When Balaam looked out and saw the Israel encamped, tribe by tribe, the Spirit of God came upon him, and he uttered his oracle." Then dropping down to verse 10, it said, "Then Balak's anger burned against Balaam. He struck his hands together and said to him, 'I summon you to curse my enemies, but you have blessed them these three times. Now leave at once and go home. I said that I would reward you handsomely, but the Lord has kept you from being rewarded.'" Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning, seeking to know you better, seeking to better follow you and your will, seeking to be better stewards. Lord, we come before you, and we read your word, and we sing praises. But Lord, we ask that right now you would move in our hearts and our minds to give us a deeper understanding. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be upon me, that as I preach, I would preach with power and truth, and that your word would be alive and would strike to the core of people, and they would hear it in a way that they had never heard before. And it would move them to walk closer to you and to know you better. Now, Lord, we pray that you would be the one lifted up and glorified here this day. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many have ever heard the story of Balaam? You know, we always think about this talking donkey. It's a great children's story. But how many of you heard preaching on this as, you know, from the regular pulpit or teaching in a regular Sunday school class on this? We've kind of reserved this passage for children's story, thinking somehow that we've outgrown this story. We haven't. There's a lot going on here. I have a tie which says, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." I like to wear ties that have messages. And the reason why I've selected this one today is to recognize the fact that this is where blessings come from. Blessings do come from God. And here we have a story about a man who was given a special spiritual gift. He was a prophet, but he was known as someone that those whom he blessed were blessed, and those whom he cursed were cursed. The blessings actually resulted in blessings, and the curses actually resulted in bad things happening. And we look at Numbers chapter 22 and the latter half of verse 6. It says, "For I know that those you bless are blessed, and those you curse are cursed." This is what Balak said when he sent his messengers to speak to Balaam. Balak was the king of Moab, and he had a problem. His problem was that the nation of Israel was out wandering the wilderness, and they have just landed up next door to him, and they wanted to come on through. And he's like, they're like ants covering the ground. When you look from a distance, they're just a carpet. And there's just so many of them, like locusts. And he was afraid, because they'd gone against other people and just wiped them out. He said, "Well, I'll get this prophet, dude, to come and curse them. And then maybe I'll be able to beat them." But Balaam's response when he was initially asked is this. Verse 10. He said, Balaam said to God, "Balak, son of Zippor, god of Moab, sent me this message. A people has come out of Egypt, covers the face of the land. Now come and put a curse on them for me. Perhaps then I will be able to fight them and drive them away." But God said to Balaam, "Do not go with them. You must not put a curse on those people, because they are blessed." The next morning, Balaam got up and went to Balak's princes. "Go back to your own country, for the Lord has refused to let me go with you." So the Moabite princes returned to Balak and said, "Balaam refused to come with us." First time out of the box, Balaam did good. He went, these guys came, they said, "We want you to come curse these people." "Okay, I'll ask God what he wants me to do." Ask God, and like, "Nope, don't do it. Don't go with those people. Those are my people. These people are blessed. You do not curse them." And Balaam turns around and says, "Not doing it." But then sends another envoy, group of people, to come and speak to him. And he's trying to entice him to come. He's offering him great riches. And Balaam wants to go. So he says, "Well, maybe God changed his mind." Does God change his mind? Is anybody here? No, he doesn't. He does sometimes withhold his hand of judgment, but that's not because he changed his mind. His mind is constant. And when it's against his will, it's something is an action that's contrary to his will, it's contrary to his will. What's right is right. What's wrong is wrong. We say, "But what if?" God says, "Mine's wrong. But what if I just tell a little lie and it'll help make things..." It's still wrong. Don't do it. Balaam knew it was against God's will. However, they came offering a lot of good stuff. So he wanted to use his gift, which God had given him, contrary to God's will. "Maybe God will give me a pass on this one." But it didn't work that way. So he went and he asked God again, and it just says, "Nope." But Balaam answered them, "Even if Balak gave me his palace filled with silver and gold, I could not do anything great or small to go beyond the command of my Lord God. But let me just check again, maybe. Now stay here tonight. I will find out what else the Lord has to tell me. You know, is there any wiggle room?" That night God came to Balaam and said, "Since these men have come to summon you, go with them, but do only what I tell you. Now, God knew the condition of Balaam's heart. And this is where we get into the part of the story that everybody knows and remembers. Balaam's riding on his donkey, and the donkey sees the angel of the Lord in front of him ready with the sword to strike down Balaam. Hold it, didn't God tell Balaam to go? Yeah. After Balaam said, yeah, you go ahead with him. See what happens. It's kind of like when Donna tells me, sure, you can go do that. Now, I was given permission. However, I know that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. Sure, you can. Yep. So we have this classic tale. And the donkey is attempting to save his master's life. Balaam gets all upset because he thinks the donkey's making a fool of him. Where it's really the donkey is literally saving his life from the angel of the Lord. And the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. I'm sorry, first he gave the donkey the ability to speak. Now, I would think that at this point Balaam would have had a clue. But no, he waited. You know, he said, what have I done? What have I done to you? Why aren't you listening to me? Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. The angel of the Lord asked him, why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I've come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If she had not turned away, I certainly would have killed you by now, but I would have spared her. Balaam said to the Lord, I have sinned. I did not realize you were standing in the road to oppose me. Now, if you are displeased, I will go back. The angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with these men, but speak only what I tell you. Speak only what I tell you. And Balaam tells him in verse 30, he says, well, I have come to you now, but can I say anything? I must speak only what God puts in my mouth. And then Balaam prophesied. And he prophesied blessing upon those who Balak had asked Balaam to curse. And Balaam responds, what have you done to me? This is verse 11 of 23. I brought you to curse my enemies, but you have done nothing but bless them. He answered, must I not speak what the Lord puts in my mouth? Second oracle pretty much goes the same way. And Balak keeps trying to get around it by taking Balaam from one location to another. Well, maybe you can curse him from this side, or maybe if you only see these people. Keep trying to get around what it is God, the boundaries that God has put in place, which is that these are my people. They must be blessed. And what we find is what we read earlier. After he'd done these things, he said, and Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not resort to sorcery. He did other times, but turned his face towards the desert. And he uttered an oracle of blessing. And this oracle of blessing ended up with Balak finally coming against him and saying, I summoned you to curse my enemies, but you have blessed them these three times. Now leave at once and go home. I said I would reward you handsomely, but the Lord has kept you from being rewarded. Balaam's stewardship of the gift that God gave him, that of being able to bless or curse, had a price. Now, had he continued in disobedience to the Lord, it would have cost him his life. Yet, going against what those who were rich and powerful wanted him to do ended up costing him in his pocketbook. He would have given them riches. He said, I promised you a lot. Now you're going to get none of it. People, that was good stewardship. What are you talking about? He could have got some money and used that to bless somebody else. No. It's about using the gifts that God has given according to the means that God intends them to be used for His glory. Now, Balaam had a special gift, that of being able to bless and curse people. And his blessings and curses took physical form. And it resulted in real blessings and real curses. You say, well, I don't necessarily have that gift. No, but what gift do you have? What blessings do you have? Each one that you've given has indeed come from God. And as we look at what Balak did, is he tried to get around what God wanted. And Balaam wanted to do it too. He really wanted to get the treasure that Balak wanted to give him. Balak wanted his will. Balaam knew that he had to do God's will. Had he stepped outside of God's will, there was a penalty for that. But because he didn't submit to man's will, there was a penalty for that. Hold it. What you're telling me is I'm in a lose-lose situation here. In one interpretation of it, you could say so. But then you have to ask yourself, where indeed is the true source of blessing and curses? Is it Balak the king? Or is it God? Balaam was seeking to receive some earthly blessings from Balak. Because Balak is saying, here, look what I'm going to give you. Just do what I want. Entice him. Entrap him into cursing God's people. Instead, Balaam went and wanted to do it. He said, nope, can't do it. Well, maybe he tried to find a way around it. But ultimately, he did what God wanted him to do. And people, that is good stewardship. And God did bless him. He did not lose his life. He is remembered in Scripture. And what we see here is somebody who ultimately did what God commanded. Now, earlier in Sunday school, we were having some question about whether or not we should be doing things because it wells up out of a desire to do God's will or just because it was commanded. You know, that kind of came up a little bit, but when a command is given, whether we obey that command because we're more mature and able to do it from a more mature insight, or because we're just going to obey God's word and do it because for that, the command still needs to be obeyed. Balaam kind of showed a little bit of both of those characteristics. He needed a little bit of carrot and stick to do it. And most of us are kind of the same way. And God does have that. He brings discipline against us for the purpose of bringing us back to the right direction. But He wants us to do things according to His will and purposes for His glory. Because He gave us the gift. So whether our gift is something as unique and special and as lofty as being able to call down blessings and curses on somebody, or whether our gift is what I have in my wallet, what I have keys to, what who I'm married to, whatever gift I have, where did it come from? It came from God. Ultimately, God is the one from whom all blessings flow. And good stewardship is using those blessings according to God's will for His glory. They're not my blessings, my gifts to use as I want. They're His to be used for His glory. And that's what it boils down to. So, this morning, this afternoon now, might we remember that good stewardship is remembering that all things are God's and remembering that the blessings that we have are to be used for His glory. And that, yes, it will have a price. There may be people who laugh at us and say, "You are crazy. You put how much in your church offering? Oh, seriously. You don't need to do that. Hold it. You stopped and you gave somebody a ride and you didn't even know them." "Well, yeah, but I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me to do it." You could have been killed. How are you crazy? Hold it. You went over to the neighbor's house and mowed their yard just because? You know, they were out of town and the grass needed to be mowed and it was long, so you just did it? And you didn't get paid for it? Are you stupid? This is the price that the world makes us pay. But the price for not doing what God directs us to do could very well be our lives. What God directs us to do, we need to do. Whether it's coming from just an obedience to the command, or whether it's coming from the more mature understanding that as we grow, as a small child, I had to be told, yes, do it, or else. As I got older, I didn't need the "or else" anymore. As we grow in the Lord, we shouldn't need the "or else." We should understand that the purpose is behind it and have God's heart and compassion. But that doesn't make the command any less of a command. We still need to obey. And stewardship is obeying God. So, this morning, take your gifts and do what it is that God tells you to do with them. Listen to Him. Follow His word, His direction, and He will bless you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You have indeed blessed us. We understand that there is a cost for doing things Your way here in the world. But Lord, we're willing to pay that price because we know that the blessing that You have for us far outweighs that cost. But we also know that there's a cost for being disobedient to you. And Lord, that is not a cost we wish to incur. So Lord, help us each one to be good stewards of all you've put in our care, that we might better shine as lights for you and your gospel. The love and mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen.